Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
He was a jet spot, and he was a murderous thug. He was not a leader. And if you think he was the leader, you're fooling yourself. And for all of you kids out there, or the people that have kids who wear things like Che Guevara shirts and, you know, Castro shirts and shirts with Chairman Mao on it and stuff like that, and think because they were somehow part of a revolution that the people enjoyed the revolution that they were a part of. Many of them had no idea they were part of a revolution, and when they woke up, everything was gone. Castro died. Horrible human being. POS, to say the least, and that's, I think, being kind. People that will weep for him are people that, well, were able to enjoy the power that he yielded and used. But let me tell you something. If you think he's a beloved leader, if you think at any given time because of, oh, what he's done with education and healthcare, by the way, around the world, there are a lot of nations that are westernized nations that have done great things with healthcare and great things with education. And they haven't done it by suppressing human beings. You think that that's a good thing. You're an idiot. You're an absolute idiot. He was a scumbag of the highest order. He was a person who survived 638 assassination attempts, give or take a few. He outlasted a ton of presidents. 50 years. 50 years. This SOB ruled an island nation. And he's gone. What next for Cuba? Raul, we'll see how he's going to be. And then there's a bunch of people behind that. We'll see how they're going to be. But think about this for a moment. And I think this is where a lot of people, you know, especially young kids, you know, kids in their 20s and 30s who really don't understand this. This right here, understand, this guy took away, as bad as Batista was, and he wasn't great, this guy was a whole nother level of evil. And that's the best way to describe him. Was he a charismatic figure? Could be argued. I mean, come on. I mean, let's be real. We'll look back in 25 years or 30 years or 40 years when old Kim Jong-il kicks the bucket or whatever happens to him, we'll say, well, he was charismatic and he was odd. Doesn't make you a great leader. And if you have to rule to the point where people are willing to get into a refrigerator, try to float 90 miles to a place where they could be safe, brave horrific weather and sharks, if you think that is being a leader and you're leading your people to the promised land, you're fooling yourself. The rejoicing I saw in Miami and in South Beach and elsewhere, Little Havana, this past weekend, it was great because these people understand what it was like. These people understand what it was like to live under a regime that destroyed lives, sucked away freedom, took away everything from people. This was a guy who ordered the deaths of tens of thousands, who suppressed his tiny island, who came close to starting a nuclear war with us. This was not somebody to be hailed. I saw what Trudeau said, the idiot up in Canada, and I think that's being kind. Talking about, well, you know, whether you liked him or hated him, charismatic figure. It's like a love letter that he wrote. He had his detractors recognize his tremendous dedication and love for Cuban people who had a deep and lasting affection for El Comandante. No, they didn't. They're terrified. They're terrified. People who think socialism and communism are great are people who want to rule it, who don't want to live under it. Show me a nation where it works.
Well, what about Denmark? It's
not a socialized nation. They'll tell you that. They're a free market society with high taxes, not a socialized nation. Show me a country where it works. He ruled through fear. He ruled through essentially through the violence of his revolution, which was misguided. The whole thought, and this is the thing, when people start talking about revolution, and I always laugh about stuff like this, they get excited about, oh, we're going to have a revolution. You know, Bernie Sanders, revolution, revolution. The revolution that comes behind it rarely is good for the people. They're upset with what's in place, but what comes behind it is usually 10 times worse. And there's a different kind of dictator than, say, somebody like Saddam Hussein, who was a horrific individual in and himself. But he also lived in a place where other horrific individuals inside of his country wanted him dead 24/7. We were the ones trying to kill Slim Shady over there. But they're all evil. They're all bad. When you have to rule like that, through fear, through violence, through oppression, through silencing, you're not a leader, you're a bully. And that's what he was. That's what he was. He was no more, no less. He was a bully. He was a bad dude who surrounded himself with other bad dudes. And guess what? Hundreds of thousands of people have been oppressed. We almost had a nuclear war. There's no rejoicing somebody's death. It's a who cares? Time to move on. What's the next guy like? Right? What's the next guy like? What's Raul going to be like? What's going to happen now with Trump? Right? Is there going to be something next? Is Trump going to say, I want any part of this? It's funny. I talked to a lot of people over the last week or so about Trump. But while most of them have a disdain for Trump, all of them were in agreement over the last couple days that the only one who handled the death of Castro right seemed to be Trump. This person should not be hailed as a hero. We are so misguided because we look at certain things. We romanticize stuff as if this is some great thing. The small bandits, they took their little boat, which, by the way, they bought. I think it was called, Grandmama or whatever, and they bought it from an American. And they took the little boat, and they floated onto the shores. And the next thing you know, through peasant revolution and revolt, they rose to power and returned everything back to the people. It doesn't happen that way. What happened is they use the people to get the power. Then once they have the power, they oppress the people so they can have it. It's like having an abusive relationship, right? You woo the person. You start to groom them. Then you slowly but surely start to chop away any resemblance of freedom. And if they get out of line, you whack them. And you tell it you did it for the good of them. He was a scumbag, period. Nothing else. Good riddance. But who knows what's coming behind him? What happens when Raul dies? Who's next? There's lots of people, but who's next? What are they going to be like? Are they going to say, screw this, we want a capitalism? I don't know. And this weekend, you saw Colin Kaepernick was playing in Miami, and he actually wore a shirt. During the preseason, he wore a shirt to a press conference. Now, mind you, you're in Miami, a place where Cuban dissidents and Cuban exiles and Cuban, second and third generation who've never met their family in Cuba live, who escaped the regime, who escaped the tyranny and the evil. You're there and you're wearing a Malcolm X and a T-shirt of somebody like the Malcolm X and Cuba's former dictator, leader, scumbag, Fidel Castro. And you're wearing this and you're thinking, this just goes to show you the ignorance of somebody like him. Somebody who won't stand for our anthem because he doesn't like the oppression that people have in this country, he feels, people of color have. Yet will wear a shirt of somebody who oppresses his own people because it's very revolutionary. The hypocrisy and the stupidity of people show no, I mean, I shouldn't be amazed anymore. I shouldn't. But I am. This is the world we live in. Good riddance to bad rubbish. And hopefully, the rubbish behind him will go soon. And then hopefully after that, the rubbish behind them will go, well, this sucks, and I want cable TV. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. We also lost Ron Glass, and then over the weekend, we lost Florence Henderson. Ron Glass, of course, was in the great show Barney Miller, and Florence Henderson, was she the mom to America? I think she was. Very much a mom to America for a generation. A lot of people were pissed at me because I posted something that I thought was a bit satirical and humorous. I think all three of them would have got a chuckle at it. But you know what? We started thinking today, and then the Philharmonica got together, and we said, well, we don't want to just devote one section to Florence Henderson and one to Castro. Why don't we combine the two, and we'll come up with something that's fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends of all ages, the Philharmonic.
Here is a story of a man named Fidel who took his country down the road to hell with three brothers, Raul, Pedro, and Ramon. The youngest one in curls. It's the story of the brother Raul who one day said, Fidel, you must step aside. You're a shriveled bastard and will die soon. For Cuba I must rise. It's the story of a Cuban commie family who after death have a very simple plan. Passing power to another in the family. That's the way they all became the Castro clan. The Castro clan. The Castro clan. That's the way they all became Castro clan.
Chad Benson Show.
Blah, 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 blah. He's Chad Benson.
That's Ron Glass, passed away today. Loved him. It was on Barney Miller. Funny dude. He was also on Firefly for the younger generation. Happens in threes. Is that now? Does producer Phil, does the despot, does he count as one? I would assume he would because he is that famous.
I don't know. I don't count him.
So, I don't know. Happens in threes, though. Happens in threes. Couldn't it be three despots at once? Wouldn't that be great? Speaking of evil stupidity, a man, and I use the word man loosely, a Somali pirate armed with a Kia or something today, attacked people on Ohio State, the Ohio State. It's looking more and more like an act of terror. People are like, was it an accident? I'm like, what? No, it's an act of terror. Since when do you ram your car into people and then you get out and you start slashing at them like you're Jason Voorhees? That's not an act of an accident. I'm so sorry that I did that. Hold on a second while I take out my giant butcher knife and try to finish you off. His name, I'll give you his name once. You know, I don't like to do these kind of things. His name is Abdul, shocker, Artan, Somali refugee. Social media shows, you know, he mentioned Anwa al-Walkie-talkie and upset about, you know, attacks of Muslims around the world and blah-de-blah-de-blah and scumbag. That's the best way to describe him. He's dead. They got to him. He didn't kill anybody. Did wound 10 people, one of them severely, but he was put down before he could do any more damage, so thank God that happened. But this is what you're going to get, and I've told you, you know, and I had a talk last night about, you know, the chances of you dying in an attack is slim to none. But doesn't mean it doesn't and can't happen. But the truth is, it's slim to none. And this was another one of those things where, you know, if of all the days, I mean, if you were going to think about it, if you were going to attack the Ohio State, of all the days to do it, Saturday, if I'm correct, Producer Phil, probably would have been the day.
Yeah, that would have been the day. But however, there would have probably been a lot more security then, too.
Probably a lot more security. If you don't know, Saturday was the Ohio State taking on the Michigan Wolverines, number two versus number three in the country. The biggest, probably the single biggest college football game of the year. 100+ thousand inside the shoe there at the stadium where they play in Ohio State. That would have been the day, right? But, you know, I'm not going to overanalyze this. This is a guy that lone wolfed it. He was upset about a lot of crap. Doesn't really matter. He's dead. He's gone. Will there be more incidents like this throughout the year and throughout next year and beyond? Yes, there is. I've told you that. There's no reason to harp on it. There's no reason to continue to talk about it ad nauseum because it is what it is. This is the world we live in at this moment, at this time. And unfortunately for us, there's not a lot we can do about it at this moment in time. It's not. You move from there to another freak and a lunatic, Dylan Roof, who was the shooter in South Carolina at the church, has decided he's going to go Colin Ferguson and defend himself. You don't know who Colin Ferguson was. He was a mass shooter in the early 90s, mid-90s, in New Jersey, New York? Yeah, on Long Island. Long Island, producer Anthony shouts out. I remember that. But he defended himself. And he went on. He said he hated white people, and he started blasting people in the subway. And he defended himself. I look, Dylan Roof he's going to get the death penalty. He should. They found him to be competent last week. I don't see any reason why this guy shouldn't fry. He is an absolute, he's an asshat, and he's going to try to turn this thing into some sort of race war mockery, but they're going to let him do it. So you know what? Good luck, and just tell him when we put him in the chair that it's a game, and we'll see how that goes. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Should we or shouldn't we? Next.
Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Should we? Or shouldn't we? Legalize drugs. We've got a problem in this country, and it's not always what you think. We absolutely have a problem in this country. A lot of people around the world have problems with drugs, and not everybody has a problem with drugs. Sometimes just the drug themselves. We don't think people are responsible. The war on drugs has failed. Can we just be honest? The war on drugs has failed. It will not fix anything. This past week, some of the biggest leaders in the world got together and they said, you know what? It ain't working. The Global Commission of Drug Policy did their annual report, and we're talking about big, big people. Secretary General Kofi Annan, who used to be the former UN Secretary General. You've got, you know, people the likes of Richard Branson, the former president of Switzerland, Colombia, Mexico, and Brazil. People who are at that point, because when you're in it, right, when you're in this situation of politicking, you can't be real about it, right? Nobody gets elected being soft on crime. Nobody does. So you got to be hard on crime. You look back at all the big mayors in the cities, nobody was like, let's be softer on crime. It just didn't happen. I mean, look at Clinton, for God's sake. He was hard on crime. You don't get elected being soft on crime. People look at the drug war, and they look at it just like that. It's a war. We have to look at it something completely different. We do. At this point in time, we have to. It doesn't work. It's not worked. In fact, it's failed so much so that the numbers are staggering. Since 2006, number of drug users has increased about 20% to over 246 plus million people who currently use some sort of illicit drug. You've got the British Medical Journal calling for drugs to be legalized. You have got, I mean, we're talking about real people, real studies. This doesn't work. It doesn't. And it, look, you know, again, I am as teetotaling as they get, right? That's what they would have called me in the old West. Oh, here comes Chad. He's a teetotaler. Doesn't drink or smoke or chew tobacco. Nope. But I don't care if you do, as long as you're not hurting somebody. And that's the important thing, as long as you're not hurting somebody. The truth is, the drug war has had the unintended consequences of the war on drugs, especially here in the United States, is it's disproportionately a bad thing for people of color. They go to jail longer. And then what you see is you see the cycle of violence, the cycle of poverty, the cycle of all of these things over and over again. Absentee fathers in the homes, because where are they? Well, you know where they are. They're in jail. It's not good. It's not. We need to figure out a new way to do things. And people, when I talk about this, you'd be surprised. I'll get people who send me, you know, you have any idea. Let me tell you about what I have any idea. I grew up in a home where my dad was a heavy user of illicit drugs. Bad drugs, kill a horse kind of drugs, coke and speed and all kinds of stuff that you have to, it's not good. It eventually cost him his life. After several heart attacks, by the time he was in his mid-30s, before the last one, boom. Let me tell you, I understand. I do. But nothing that you or anybody else could have done would ever have stopped him. It was too great for him. So we need to come at it in a different way. And I have zero problems with this. Partially because I think, A, it doesn't work, and it costs just exponentially. I mean, if you look at the amount of money we spent on drug wars, and then the amount of money we spend housing people for sometimes minor offenses, it's ridiculous. It is. It's ridiculous. And then you look at the cost later on. It's the unforeseen cost of kids without fathers in the homes, growing up in areas where there's poverty, neglect, violence, and more drugs, gangs. And then you see what takes place over and over again. And that's that cycle of violence and poverty that we see. Those are unforeseen circumstances. You can't put a dollar amount on that. There's no way to quantify how much that is. But the truth is, that's what you have. We've got to do something better. We do. Absolutely, we have to do something better. We've got to figure out a way to take this thing head on and educate, but at the same time, look at human beings as adults when they're adults and say, you're responsible for you. If you hurt somebody, that's on you, and you'll be punished for it. But if you like to use and you want to abuse your body, that's on you. There you go. That's you. This is Michael Kaczynski. He's a physician, and he is calling for the worldwide basically opening up of the drugs. Oh, we don't have that? Oh, it's in there. Well, we'll look for it. But this was another one of the guys who was a leader in this thing where these guys have signed off. And I'm telling you guys, and I tell you this because I care. The fact is smarter people than me have seen that the effects of this drug war, the unforeseen circumstances and the consequences that have affected the lives of millions of youths, and the fact that we are really just, it's a revolving door of desperation, despair, and death. We've got to do something else. Take a listen.
Now, millions of people across the world use drugs without causing any harm to others. So criminalizing them is unnecessary, it's harmful, it's not proportional, and to us, it undermines the right to privacy and the right to human dignity and personal autonomy. So that's why, as a member of the commission, of course, but as a physician who's really witnessed the AIDS epidemic among people who use drugs from the very beginning, I hadn't a second of hesitation in co-signing on this report.
Now, what will come out of it? Nothing. Because the other side of it is there's lots of money to be made off the war on drugs. Always remember that. Where there is something that we think, oh, you know, we should just let people be like this. We should just let people do this. We should just let people be themselves. No, we can't, because we've got to fight it. Why? Because there's lots of money to be made in fighting something. Right? There's lots of money to be made in fighting stuff. It's sad. It's so sad. And it's so frustrating. But can we all admit that it's failed? Can we all admit that the drug war has failed? And we could just go, okay, it's failed. It's, you know, I mean, we're seeing right now, what do we see? We see an epidemic in this country of, you know, opioid use. That's just, it's horrific. The abuse that we see. And it's only coming to the forefront in a lot of ways because why? Well, because it's kind of a very, you know, suburbanite kind of situation what we're seeing. So it's becoming more and more prevalent there, so more and more people are paying attention. The truth is drugs are bad. But not everybody who takes drugs gets addicted. Read an article the other day that says, you know what, you put 100 people in a room and they will try certain drugs. And it's going to be 8 or 10% that will become addicted to that drug. And a good portion of them will never have any effects and they won't feel it and they won't be a part of it and they won't have an addiction to it. So let's focus where we think we can make a better inroads into education, but make it safe. And let's be smart about the fact that all we're doing is we're continuing the violence. We're continuing the poverty. We're continuing the absentee fathers. We're continually seeing this thing fail over and over again. But as is always in government, every time we do something, even if it fails, we must do it over and over again. And we must throw more and more money at it. When in truth, we need to be smart, we need to educate, and we need to let people have their own personal responsibilities in life. And if they hurt somebody, then that's on them, and we approach it from that direction. But if they want to go home at night and cocaine is their thing, you know what? Let it be. Chad, you're crazy. Nah, I'm not. Speaking of crazy, you're crazy not to do this. I'm talking about getting the boost you need naturally. If you reach for a soda, and there are millions of you that do, maybe an afternoon coffee, one of those nasty energy drinks loaded with sugar, put it down. Listen up. Get close to the radio, kids. Good health starts with intention. I have Super Beats. I take it with me all places I go. No matter what I'm doing, I have it with me, and I take it with me, and I drink it up, and it is delicious. What it does is it gives me energy. It gives me stamina. It gives me a boost I need within 20 minutes. And the thing that's great about it is there is no crash. There is no coming down. There is none of that fall off that you get with all of those other things. It's functional food for circulation. And you drink it up. Take it simple and easy. Inside of water, a little scoop, away you go. It's loaded with dietary nitrates, which help boost nitric oxide in the body. And that's where that energy comes from. I get an all-day boost from it without the crash. And it's packed with electrolytes, antioxidants too. So just mix it in some water and some smoothies. And I know what you're saying. Chad, I just had Thanksgiving last week. I tasted beets. Producer Phil, beets can be nasty. Super beets, no.
Super beets are not nasty. And I was ill over Thanksgiving. I was laid up with the flu. But I took super beets and it actually, I mean, it didn't like cure any of my symptoms. But it actually gave me energy to move around a little bit and try to get over it. But it doesn't taste like beets. It tastes great and I love it.
This is what I want you to do right now. I want you to get a 30-day supply free with your first order. You're also going to get nitric oxide indicator strips free to use before and after drinking Super Beats. Make sure it's working in your body, and you will see it working in your body, and you will feel it. Plus, you're going to get a book called Beat the Odds, absolutely free and free shipping. Now, it's guaranteed or your money back. That's what I love about them. Put their money where their mouth is. Go to chadbeats.com. That's chadbeats.com or call 800-561-2677. That's 800-561-2677. This stuff works. It works great. You will love it, guaranteed, or your money back. Go to chadbeats.com or call 800-561-2677. Little football talk, little Cyber Monday talk. Kids, we are fully packed. We could have probably done 10 shows today, but we're going to do it all for you in one. That's what we do here. Guaranteed or your money back. The Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
I watched a lot of football this weekend. Started Thursday. Sorry, producer Phil, that your Redskins put a hell of a fight up. But I think it's safe to say that, A, the Redskins are a legit team, but, B, Dak Prescott is real and the Dallas Cowboys are a real team. I think it's safe to say that. I watched that game, and something interesting happened at that game. Josh Norman and Dez Bryant aren't fans of each other. They've been going at each other for quite a while. Dez Bryant, is, you know, receivers tend to do, tend to talk a little trash. Josh Norman also, for his part, talks a lot of trash. But this just goes, this to me, it just sums up the machismo. And you have, let's be real, you have to have some, there's got to be some of the bruteness in things. But we forget that these guys, man, they carry it on the field at times from where they came from. Josh Norman was talking about what happened after the game where Josh, you know, here's Josh Norman, one of the best, you know, DBs and corners in the business, being sought out by Dez Bryant after the Cowboys win. And it's just, the whole thing is perplexing.
This guy, bumping to me, like, what's up? Where I'm from, we ain't living. I love clips, so pretty much whatever you want
to
do.
So what he said is Dez Bryant came up to him afterwards and said, look, where I'm from, when you bump into somebody like you just did, we put clips in you, essentially meaning we unload the clip inside you. It's got, you know, how many of the clip holds. That's what we do. It's just, it's. But what do you expect? I mean, we ask these guys to every week go out there, throw their bodies at each other, smash themselves, destroy themselves, shorten their careers, and shorten their lives, by the way. Shorten their lives by more than a few years. We ask them to do this. But I just found that to be like, you know, and Dez Bryant said, I didn't say it. You said it. Because you're Dez Bryant. That's what you say. And knowing from where you came from and the hard life you had, yes, I get that. But it's sad because in many ways, he's true. Where these come from, this is what happens. But I watched a ton of football this weekend, and I will say that it is, you know, I love football, but I'm at that point where, you know, I have that moral dilemma because as much as I love football, it is tough at times to watch these guys destroy each other and to think that hit. That how long are you out? That hit. How long are you done? Like, what did that do to your brain? How scrambled is the egg that is your brain at this moment in time? But like a train wreck, we watch the thing, right? Like a train wreck, we will watch it over and over again. We will. We absolutely will. 110%. And I watched, one thing I did watch, last night I watched the Canadian Football League, the Grey Cup, which is their Super Bowl. So it was played last night at BMO Field in Toronto, and I was flipping back and forth because if you've never seen Canadian football, it is hilarious. First of all, the end zones are 25 yards deep. If you have three downs, not two, there's always somebody in motion, and you can be running towards the line of scrimmage as the quarterback gets the ball. And it's all high tempo, and it's hilarious, though, because not so much for the game. I mean, because the game, again, it's quirky. They have a three-minute warning instead of a two-minute warning. They, you know, you can review fouls and penalties. That's the thing I always found interesting. But the thing is, what I love is the Canadian announcers, and then when it goes to the and maybe this is just me being a jerk, but when it goes to the referee, they throw an orange flag instead of a yellow flag, but it's always, it's just, oh, for sure, this guy over here totally did something super wrong. He was totally sorry about it, but doesn't mean we can't penalize the guy. But he's totally, well, there was an infraction, and that was a super cheaty play, and for that, we're going to give him 3.5 meters. The Red Blacks won last night was the name of the Ottawa Red Blacks, which they used to be called the Rough Riders. There was like 8 teams in the CFL at one time, and like half of them were named the Rough Riders. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com, eh? Oh, for sure there. And this guy over here was totally in trouble. Chad, you got a 3.5 meter penalty there for being so cool, eh? First down.